That night he told his audience, he said, never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. And nothing great or small, large or pretty. Never, never, never give in. Well, here we are 83 years later, and most of the educated world still knows about that speech that was given as our country was in the throes of war. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you this morning that we too are at war. As God's people, we are at war with Satan and the forces of evil. And if I am honest, and I have to admit that sometimes it seems to me as if this war is never going to end. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I get very weary fighting this war, and if I'm true with you this morning, there's a lot of times that it seems like Satan is just absolutely kicking my rear end. And I get tired of it. And yes, there have been times I've been tempted to just give up and throw in the towel. And I'm going to say this, if you've been fighting the good fight of faith for a while now, I guarantee you, you've been there too. It gets old sometimes when it feels like all we're doing is getting kicked around by Satan. And if you've been fighting that fight, I'm telling you, you know what I'm talking about. But like Churchill said, friends, we must never, never, never give in. We must never give up, because for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ, the battle will soon be over. And when it is, praise God, we who know him, we his followers, will emerge victorious.
Amen.
And right here in John chapter 8, Jesus himself is urging his followers to never give up. To never give in, but rather he is urging us to continue on in the fight. And in doing so, our Lord gives us some very sound advice about not only enduring the fight with Satan, but also how we can win. So what words of encouragement does Jesus give us here in John chapter 8? Well, the first thing I feel like I need to do in this message this morning is make a clarification. And the clarification is found in the first part of verse 31, where it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." We got to figure out here real quick who Jesus is talking to. Who is he talking to? Well, he is addressing, the Bible says, Jews, get this, not just any Jews, but Jews that believed on him. Now notice, it doesn't say that they were Jews who believed in him. They were Jews who were believing on him. And that means that they were trusting on his name. You know what that means, friends? It means these people had faith. They were trusting on him for salvation. This means they were already saved, already born again. And how do I know that? I know that because in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, we are saved by the grace of God through faith.
Amen.
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Well, guess what? If you're trusting on Christ for your salvation, guess what? You're saved. You're born again. What about in Acts chapter 16? When the Philippian jailer came to Paul and Silas and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Do you remember what Paul said? He didn't say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I got news for you. The devil believes in Jesus Christ. James chapter 2 says, the devils believe and tremble. They know exactly who he is. Believing in Jesus, just believing that he exists, that, my friend, will not get you to heaven. Paul told him right. He said, sir, you want to be saved? Here's what you got to do. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between those two little words right there, in and on. Okay, you can believe in something, or you can trust on something, okay? And so obviously, these Jews here, it says they believed on Jesus, and this is what they had done, and so they were already saved. They were already saved, okay? So, got to keep that in mind as we go along. That's what these people had done. They'd already been set free, friends, from the penalty of sin and death. So when Jesus says what he says here, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to people who are already born again, people who are already saved, people who are already trusting on his name. So if Jesus is not talking about being set free from the penalty of sin, what's he talking about here? Well, real quick before I move on, because I don't want to be negligent. Let me just say this. If you have never personally called on Jesus to save you, you are currently dead in your sin.
Amen.
You hear me? I'm telling you plain. You are, right now, you are dead in your sin. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If you've never called on the name of the Lord, you're not saved. Okay? There's never been a moment. Pardon me. There's never been a moment where you personally have prayed and asked Jesus into your heart and life. I don't care if you are a good person. I don't care if you own a Bible. I don't care if you read it. I don't care if you come to church. I don't care what you do. If you've not called on Jesus, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not saved. You're not ready. You're not going to go to heaven when this life is over. Because we're saved with the grace of God through faith. And to get there, we have to call on Jesus. And so if you've never called on Jesus, you are currently dead in your sin. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You are going to die a physical death someday, very soon, should Jesus tarry. And then after that happens, you are going to die what the Bible calls the second death, which is not an end of existence, but where rather you are eternally separated from God in a literal place called hell. That's what the second death is. And the only way you can be set free from the penalty of sin and death and gain eternal life is to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that comes only when you trust on Christ for salvation.
Amen.
That's how you get saved. These people trusted on Jesus. They believed on Jesus. That is the record of the Scripture. That tells me these people were already saved. I'm telling you, if you've never done it, you've never made that decision, you've never prayed that prayer, you've never called on Jesus to save you, I want to implore you to come today before this service is over and make that decision to call on Christ in faith before it is too late for you.
Amen.
So that's the clarification of this message. Jesus is not making the statement to those who are lost, but rather he is making the statement to those who are saved. And so that brings us to the second point of this message, and that is the condition. The condition is found in the second half of verse 31, where Jesus says this. He says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Larry Pitts has a saying that I like. He says, plain speech is easily understood. Amen.
Amen.
Well, friends, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's words right here in verse 31 couldn't be more plainly spoken than they are with what he said right here, okay? And right here, Jesus says very plainly that our willingness to continue following in him and following his word shows the world whether or not we're really his or not. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There are a lot of people who say they're Christians. There are a lot of people who play like Christians, okay? They're playing a little game. They're putting on a little show. But I've often wondered, and I heard Billy Graham address this one time, if Lord come rapture the church out on Sunday morning, how many people be gone? How many people be taken? I hate to say it. I think the average church, there'd be a lot more sitting around than there would be those that got to go with him. A lot of people just kind of play in the church, okay? But Jesus says right here, if you continue in my word, he says, then you are my disciple indeed. And Jesus is laying this down, friends, as a settled rule. Okay? If you continue, he says. If you continue. if you continue what? In my word. He says, then are you my disciple indeed. Friends, let me ask something. When you read that statement, where Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple indeed. What does that say about all the people that we've seen here through the years who've come down that aisle during service, have come up here and prayed with me, have come up here and prayed what we call that sinner's prayer, and said, oh, I want to accept Jesus and get him in my heart and life. And then we baptize them next week, and they come to church 2 or 3 months after that, and then they leave and we never see them again. What does this statement say about this people? What does this statement that Jesus makes here say about the people who come and make a profession of faith and play at being a Christian for a few months and then leave and go right back to living the same life they always led and never come back? What does that say about them? I'll be real clear. I'm not their judge.
Amen.
I'm not God. God will judge those people. But I will say this. I wouldn't give you a nickel for their chance of making heaven when this life is over. Because it is not follow Jesus for a month or two and then do what you want, go to heaven when life is over. No, no. you become a follower of Christ, honey. You are a follower of Christ. Every person that's ever come to this altar, and there's been a lot that have come, and 2-3 months later, just what I said, they're gone. But everyone that's come up here, I've cautioned them, don't pray this prayer unless you're really ready to pray it. Because if you pray this prayer, you are making a lifetime commitment to Jesus Christ that He will expect you to fulfill. I said, He expects you to fulfill that commitment to Him more than He expects you to commit to fulfill your marriage vow. And so if you're not really ready to commit your life to Christ, go sit back down. I know that sounds kind of harsh, don't it? I'm tired of watching people make these hollow, false professions of faith that mean nothing.
Amen.
The 2 or 3 months later, they're right back out here living like they were before they showed up. That ain't what I want. You know what I want? I want to see every person come forward and make a profession of faith be truly born again. I want to see every person, by the power of God, become the new creature in Christ. I want to see every life be different. And I praise God for every person I've seen walk down this aisle that got Jesus in their heart and that truly were changed. I praise God for that. And I pity the ones who came and prayed a little prayer that didn't mean much and left and nothing ever changed for them. But, you know, what does that say about those ones who just followed for a short time and revert back? Okay, friends, let me just say it. Jesus, not Brother Todd, Jesus said that only those who hold to His teachings shall be accepted by Him as true disciples. And notice the very first word that Jesus uses in this statement. It's the word if. He says what? If you continue. That word if implies that each of us have to make a decision each and every day whether or not we are going to follow Christ. Friends, in order to continue in His word, you know what that means? It means you got to know His word. How's that going to happen? Oh, yeah. When you sit down and make time for it every day and open the thing and read the thing and see what the thing says, that's how you're going to know His word. And you got to know it to continue in it, don't you? And you got to continue in it to truly be His disciple. Friends, I've said this at least 50 times from this pulpit in the past 12 years. I'm going to say it again this morning. If you neglect the Word of God, you will do it at your own peril. You will not believe that. You just go home right now, and I said that today. You neglect the Word of God, you will do it to your own peril. So we see the clarification of who Jesus is making this statement to. We see the condition of this promise that we have to continue on. And now we're going to see the promise itself, and it's kind of twofold. Let's look at the first part of it, verse 32. He says, and you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. If you'll come to Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you will get into His Word, if you will believe His Word, if you will obey His Word, and then continue in His Word, following it daily, guess what Jesus says is going to happen for you? You will know the truth.
Amen.
So let me emphasize something else again. There is a reason why lost people look to us who are saved and say things like this. Well, I've tried to read the Bible, but I don't understand it. You ever heard that? I've heard it many times. You know why? It's real simple. I'll tell you why they don't understand it. They don't understand the Word of God because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in them, and they're never going to have the Holy Spirit of God living in them as long as they choose to live without Christ. You see, it's only when a person comes to Jesus in faith for salvation that the Spirit of God comes and begins to live within their heart. Isn't that what 1 John 4:15 says when it says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, it says, God dwelleth in him.
Yeah.
Guess what? That doesn't happen until you have a relationship with Jesus. Who does God dwell in? The one who confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. Friends, lost people don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in them, and this is very problematic for them, because while the Holy Spirit of God has many roles in our lives, one of those roles is that of a teacher. Let me ask you, have you ever opened the Word of God, and it just speaks real powerful to you? Is that it? I said, a lot of you smiling. You know what that tells me? That's happened, hadn't it? Have you ever opened up the Word of God, began to read it, and all of a sudden God enlightens you to something that you never knew before? He all of a sudden gives you understanding about something that you never understood before? Let me tell you something. When that happens, and that little light bulb comes on over your head, you know what that is? That is the Holy Spirit of God teaching. teaching you something. Amen. I don't know how you feel about that. That is exciting. It really is. And it is the Spirit that gives us an understanding of what God's Word is saying, okay? But the lost man or woman doesn't have the Spirit to give them this understanding. Think about this. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this very thing. It says, but the natural man, meaning the lost man or woman, that's who the natural man is, lost man or woman, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to them, neither can they know them because, listen, they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually ignorant. Why? Because they do not have the Spirit of God living in them. That's why. I'm not shocked when lost people come and say, oh, I don't understand this. Of course you don't. The reason they lack the Spirit is they lack that relationship with Jesus. But here's the awesome thing. I have read the Word of God in its entirety many, many times. I've read it dozens of times. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how you feel about it. Every time I read it, I see new things.
Amen.
Jeff, I'm going to tell you something. Every time I read it, I've read it over 50 times now. Every time I read it, I read new things. And you know what I think to myself? How did I miss that all these other times? Why didn't I see it? I'm going to tell you why I didn't see it. God wasn't ready to give it to me yet. Amen. I guess the other 50 times I just glazed over it. But today, God needed me to see this. And all of a sudden, I read it again for the 51st time. And all of a sudden, man, it is just like this big bright light comes up out of my Bible and says, here's what this means. Now, I will tell you something. That, to me, as a Christian, is one of the most exciting things that can go on in my spiritual life, is when God enlightens me like that and shows me something. Amen. And every time I read the Word of God, He reveals new and deeper things to me. And the things that He reveals to me helps me with the things that I'm facing at that point in my life. You ever been there? You have a real bad problem. You don't know what to do. You pray about it. You tell God. You go to His Word. It's like the third verse you read. It's like, here's the answer. Has that ever happened? Because it happens to me all the time. That's exciting, friends, when that happens. And every time I read the Word of God, guess what happens? It helps me to mature in my faith. It helps me to draw closer to Him. I'm going to tell you something. I will never get those things. You will never get those kind of things if you neglect the Word of God.
Amen.
Friends, let me tell you something. Everything you need to know is found in the Word of God. And those things aren't going to get in your head by accident. You are going to have to deliberately make time to get in the Word of God and read and see what God has to say. Let me share with you one of my favorite verses. It's Proverbs 25:2. It says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. You hear that? It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. Well, if it's an honor for a king to get in the Word of God and search out a matter, how much more of an honor is it for you and me?
Amen.
And friends, it is. It is an honor to get in the Word of God and seek out His wisdom and it is true wisdom when we continue doing what it says. And if you get into God's Word, God will help you to know it, to understand it. And as He does, guess what's going to happen? You will know the truth. Meaning you will be able to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. You'll be able, as the Bible says, to reprove all things. Meaning you'll have this ability to look at everything the world presents you and measure it against God's Word and determine whether what you're being presented with is right or wrong. Let me give you a quick example. Man, there's a million of them. I was telling Sunday school class today. I heard on the news this morning, do you know where most people 20 to 29 years old are getting their news now? From TikTok. Poll was that. That's where most 20 to 29 year olds are getting their news, TikTok. You know who owns TikTok? China. You know who controls the content on TikTok? China. You know what they're doing? They're telling our young people what they want them to hear.
Amen.
And they know if they keep telling lies over and over and over to these people, eventually they'll start to believe a lot of them. Isn't that sad?
Amen.
Now, I'm telling these people so dumb because they don't know God's Word and they hear this crap on TikTok and they think it's the gospel truth.
Amen.
It's sad. It is so sad. But let me give you the main example I'm going to give you. Anybody notice there's any anti-Semitism going on in America today, in the world today? Oh, I'm telling you, it is
frankly, it seemed to me like the world's been turned upside down, because there are so many people in our world today, so many people in our nation, sadly, so many of our political leaders who are trying to make the members of Hamas out to be the victims in this thing. Like it's Israel's fault they had to do this. They're trying to make the Hamas people out, victims of what's going on in Gaza. Yesterday, you know there was a rally in Washington, D.C. in support of Hamas? Do you know that there were over 100,000 people showed up? I saw some of the signs they were carrying. They weren't saying, protect the innocent women and children. They were carrying signs saying, ceasefire to help the innocents. No, they had signs that were saying, eradicate the Jews. There were some signs they had the news wouldn't even show. They said it was so loud. I knew there was hatred for Jewish people in this country, but you know what? Even I am shocked now at the extent of it. Let me tell you something. All these people out there yesterday in D.C. who are celebrating Hamas and what they did to the Jews on October 7th, they are dead wrong.
Amen.
Can I say amen to that? They are dead wrong. Dead wrong. How do I know this? Well, I know they're wrong because I am able to rightly divide the word of truth. And I know that God in his word told Abraham, he said, I'm not just going to give you a son, I'm going to give you so many descendants that it's going to be more numerous than the stars in the sky or the sand on the beach. And he said, you know what? He said, I'm going to make a great nation out of your descendants. And guess what he did? And that nation today is Israel. God fulfilled that promise. God also said, concerning those descendants, he told Abraham, he said, I will bless those that bless thee and curse those that curse them.
Amen.
Well, based on that, guess what side of this fight I'm on? I'm on God's side. God says I need to bless Jewish people. Honey, I'm going to bless Jewish people. I ain't just blessing the Jewish people. I am praying for the Jewish people every day. I am praying for this fight that they're in. I am praying that God is going to give them a victory over their enemies of a biblical proportion.
Amen.
I pray when this is over, it'll be 50 years before anybody wants to mess with Israel again. Again, I'm going to tell you this. I've read my Bible, and I've watched what's going on in the world. I know history. This ain't the first time somebody wanted to kill all the Jews now, is it?
That's right.
Yeah. It started way back in the Bible in Esther with Haman. Remember him? He wanted to kill all the Jews. Has anybody ever succeeded?
Nope.
You think anybody's ever going to?
Nope.
Guess what? You go be on the wrong side of this you want to be. I'm going to be on God's side on this. I'm going to bless Israel. I'm praying for Israel. And I'm on their side because God said if I do, he said he's going to bless me.
Amen.
He said if I curse them, he's going to curse me. Yeah, that's what side of that I'm on, okay? That's all I got to say about it. But let me tell you something, friends, about God's children, okay? No matter how smart we think we are, no matter how many times we read it, let me tell you something about God's children. We're still children.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I don't care if you're 78, 90 years old. We're still, spiritually speaking, we're still children. Right now, the Bible says the best of us. We see through a glass darkly. But when we see Jesus, it says then we're going to see all things clearly. And because we are still children, guess what? We understand like children, we speak like children, and sometimes I hate saying church, we act like children.
Amen.
Sometimes I do it, and sometimes you do too. We act like children. And because that's true, friends, we need to be taught. Well, guess what? Right here is the textbook.
Amen.
This is the textbook. This is what we need. Friends, it's a great privilege to know the truth of God's word. I'm telling you, listen close. It is your responsibility to get into his word every day, and then with his help, understand what it's saying. Jesus said, if you will continue in his word, you shall know the truth.
Amen.
That's a promise. You want to be dumb and ignorant? You want to have a bunch of problems in your life? Then neglect the word of God. If you want to know the truth, guess what? Get in it.
Amen.
Get in it every single day. But there's one more part to this promise. And we see it in the second half of verse 32. He says, you shall know the truth, and what? And the truth shall make you free. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, if we will continue in his
word and continue to hold to his teaching, then not only will we know the truth, but that truth will set us free. And yes, the word of God, I'll say it again, it will set you free from the penalty of sin. Romans 1:16 says plainly that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But again, Jesus wasn't talking to lost people here. He was talking to those who were already trusting on his name and who were saved. So this begs the question, if this statement is being addressed to those who are already saved, who've already been set free from the penalty of sin, then what will the truth set the born-again believer from? Well, Kyle, I'm so glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you. For starters, the truth will set you free from making errors and mistakes in your daily life.
Amen.
You see, when I know what God's Word says, and then I have the good sense to do what God's Word says, guess what happens? Everything always works out.
Amen.
Now, let me be careful. I didn't say everything's always easy. Because doing what God says is seldom easy. But I will say this. Every time I look to the Word of God, and God's Word says this, and I do what it says, in the end, everything works out. Now, I'm just like you. I'm in flesh. I'm sometimes not very bright. And sometimes I know what God's Word says, and yet I choose to do otherwise. And guess what? It has never worked out once, Frank. Can you believe that? Not once! Every time I go against what the Word of God says, it always, always blows up in my face. Every time.
Amen.
And then I'm like, why did I do that? Because I knew what God said, and yet I went and I did this. It never works out. It never works out. By getting into God's Word, I know God's Word. By applying what it says and obeying what it says, guess what happens? I become free from making errors and mistakes in my life. So that's one thing, but it ain't the only thing. Guess what else the truth will do? I love this one. The truth will also set you free from all prejudice. You hear me? The truth will set you free from all prejudice. And I'm not just talking about racial prejudice. You do realize there's plenty of people in the world today who have religious prejudice, right?
Amen.
But you don't believe like I do, so I'm like, I had this old boy in Church of Christ one time told me I was going to hell because I don't go to the Church of Christ and because I wasn't baptized in the Church of Christ. And I said, well, I asked Jesus into my heart, I've asked him to save me. His word says, if I call on his name, I shall be saved. Doesn't matter, you didn't go to Church of Christ, that's what he told me. I think he's going to be shocked when he gets there and I'm there. What do you think? I really do. I think he's going, I think he might just want to go to hell because he ain't going to want me in heaven with me, Jeff. I was a Baptist. We have all kinds of prejudice, don't we? It ain't just racial. There's all kinds of prejudice. But let me tell you something. When you get in the Word of God, you begin to understand something. In the Word of God, you will understand, if you get in it, that all people are created in the divine image of Almighty God. And therefore, all people are valuable to God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what color your skin is. You were created in the divine image of God, and you are valuable. Okay? And then when you get in the Word of God, you begin to see that Christ died for sinners. Well, who's a sinner? Everyone is a sinner. And so all of a sudden, you begin to realize, well, all these sinners out here that I want to get all high and mighty with and look down my nose at and get pious and self-righteous with and judge and all that, that's prejudice, by the way. You know, let me tell you something. When you begin to see and say, well, these are people Christ died for, these are sinners who need a Savior, guess what begins to happen? You begin to get burdened for these people. And you begin to see how valuable they are to God. And as you get burdened for them, you begin to see them like He does and love them like He does. Guess what? The truth will set you free from prejudice. Let me tell you something else the truth will set you free from. It will set you free from all fear.
Amen.
What is our greatest fear as human beings? Let's just be honest about it. The greatest thing human beings fear is death. Yes, Jeff, that's right. Death. That's our greatest fear. But what does God's Word say in Philippians chapter 1? It says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Amen.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Amen. Do you?
Amen.
Are you sure? Because sometimes I'm not sure. But anyway, the little stuff, because sometimes God's people act like, oh, I want to go to heaven, just not today. Well, honey, I want to go to heaven, I'm here now, okay? There is nothing here that is so enamoring to me that I want to stick around here any longer. I go anytime He wants me. And I also know this. It says to depart and be with Christ is far better. It don't say it's a little bit
better. It doesn't say it's some better. It says to depart and company with Jesus is far better. Let me ask you something. If you really believe that, why would a born-again child of God ever fear death again? If in your heart that's a settled thing, hey, I'm going to live till he wants me to go home. When he wants me, I'm gone. And I'm going to go someplace so much better than this, I'll never look back. You know what I love? And I hope I don't offend anybody what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. You know what I love is that little plaque that I see at the cemetery everywhere. If tears could build a stairway and memories a lane, I'd walk right up to heaven and bring you back again. No, you wouldn't. No. Let me tell you something. If you could see where a born-again person that's died is gone, you'd never want to bring them back here again. I mean, it won't happen. If we could just get a glimpse, if you just roll back the veil for a second, let us see where they've gone, we wouldn't want to stay here another second.
Amen.
It is far better. I believe that. Because I believe that, I have no fear of death. And let me ask you this. Once you get over your fear of death, what could you possibly be afraid of? Think about that. I asked my sister once, you know, she did, I took her and her daughter for an airplane ride years ago for my niece's birthday. And she really didn't want to go, but she went. And it was so funny to me, as we were flying around, there was a little hand held up there, and she pulled onto both hands. And I looked at my sister and I said, do you think that's going to save you if I crash your plane? You can die holding onto that handle, you know? And I don't know what to tell you, but, and I always like to tease my sister. We'd go fly, and I'd say, you have your driver's license with you? And she'd say, yeah, why? Oh, it makes identifying the bodies easier. I was real helpful with her care. But I asked her one day, I said, what are you really afraid of? She said, crashing. I said, well, why are you afraid of crashing? Afraid to fly because she's afraid to fly, crash. I said, why are you afraid to crash? She said, well, if we crash, we might die. I said, bingo. You just hit it. You just hit what you're really scared of. You're scared to die. And I told her the truth. She ought to be. Because she's lost and living without Jesus. She ought to be scared. But I'm not lost and without Jesus. I'm saved and born again and on my way to heaven. And guess what? I'm not afraid to die. Therefore, I'm not afraid to crash. Therefore, I'm not afraid to fly. Does that make sense?
Man.
Once you get past that fear of death, tell me what else is there to be afraid of? I can't think of anything. And one other thing. The truth will set you free from every false notion and false wind given to you by the world. Let me tell you real straight. The world changes every day.
Man.
But praise God, he doesn't. Amen. Praise God, his word, it doesn't change. And the mind and the heart that admits the truth of God's word is greatly enlarged with knowledge. It gains scope and understanding. It gains wisdom. Now I'm going to make one of my famous statements, one of these. If you don't hear anything else I said today, please hear this. Okay, here it is. We are never as free as when we know God's word and follow God's word. It is only when we stray from God's word that we are put into bondage.
Amen.
You hear me? You want to be free? Freedom doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to live a life apart from God and go do whatever. No, no. You're going to live in bondage if you live that way. Real freedom is when you know God and follow God.
Amen.
Friends, the truth is still setting people free today. It will set you free from the penalty of sin. It will keep you from going to hell. And it will show you the way of eternal life. But the truth will do so much more for you than that once you are saved. The truth will set you free from erroneous living. It will set you free from a lot of self-inflicted problems.
Amen.
But in order for that to happen, it requires us to spend much time in God's Word every day. It requires a dedication to God's Word that, I hate to say it, a lot of people in the church today just don't seem to have.
Amen.
But let me be honest, I've been preaching 30 years. You want to see what I know today? Here's what it is. There's a lot of God's people today who seem to be in the dark about a lot of things they ought to know and could know, but don't know because they neglect the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm always shocked somebody comes to me with a problem. I open the Word of God and throw it down and say, read this. And then they read it and go, God, who said that? Well, I'm wondering why. I'll tell you why. You don't spend the time.
Amen.
Don't spend the time. knowing God's word isn't enough. If we truly want the truth of his word to set us free, then we must not only know it, we must obey it, and we must have the endurance to continue in it, doing what God has said each and every day. But Jesus said, if you will continue in his word, then number one, you are his disciple indeed. And then the promise, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free from every hindrance that Satan will lay in your way.
Amen.
So with that said today, I am challenging each of you to come and dedicate yourself to the Word of God in a way unlike you've ever been dedicated to it. I'm challenging you, if you're not already doing it, get in it every day. If you're already in it every day, read more every day. But I'm challenging you to become more dedicated to it than you've ever been before. Because I'm going to tell you something. You neglect the Word of God, let me tell you what's going to happen. Satan is going to have an easy time with you.
Amen.
That's the truth. He's going to have an easy time with you. And I promise you, when he starts having an easy time with you, you're going to get weary from the fight real quick. Churchill was right. Never, never, never give in. Never give up. But continue in his word so that you can not only know the truth, but so that truth will set you free. Doesn't God good?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I hold in my hand right here this book we call the Bible. And Father, this book contains everything that we need to know. Lord, I figure if it's not in here, then you deem we don't need to know it right now. Lord, anything we need to know is found in this book. And Lord, any problem we face, we know there is a solution. Any decision, Lord, that needs to be made, we know, Lord, there is a way. But Lord, so often, if I'm honest, Lord, I myself and so many others, Lord, we neglect to spend time in this book like we should. And therefore, Lord, we are willfully ignorant. And God, forgive us of that willful ignorance. Forgive us, God, when we neglect one of the most important things, Lord, that you've given to us. God, I pray that today we would have a renewed vigor as your people to get into your word, to read your word, to believe your word, to obey your word, and to continue in your word every day. Lord, that we might become the people you'd have us to be. So that, Lord, we might be the church you designed us to be. God, I just pray if anyone here today has any kind of issue at all, I pray, Lord, they come and bring it to your feet. And lay it to you. Lay it at your feet. Just let you have it. And I pray today, Lord, they go home and begin to dig in the scriptures. And I pray before the day's over, Lord, you'll speak to their hearts. And you'll give them, Lord, the answer they need, whatever it is they're facing. Lord, help us, Lord, to not just know the truth, but to continue in the truth, to be set free by the truth, so that we, through the truth, will have victory in this war that we're waging with Satan today. God, if there's one here who's never been set free by the truth, set free from the penalty of sin, I pray right now as we sing this final hymn, they'll come and make that most important decision, call on Jesus before it's too late. Now, Lord, you have your way right now in this invitation. Have your way in every heart and every life. And Lord, as you're speaking to us, Lord, I pray we have the conviction and courage to step out of the pew and to come and yield ourselves to you and your will right now. Lord, have your way. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory.